And here we go. Welcome. This is the Anarchist Investor Live. I am Matt, coming at you every Monday through Friday, live at 12 Eastern on the Ungovernable channel. Channels. a reminder, hit the sub, the like, the upvote, the follow, the share, throw a comment into the comment section. I want to hear what you're looking at. What you think about what I'm looking at and the opinions that I'm putting across to you as far as investment is concerned. With that, I'm pulling the banner off and we are off and running. So I had on the hold screen before Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash is popping off. The rest of the crypto complex is for the most part down. The only real names I'm looking at that are up anything right now are Bitcoin Cash, Monero, Pirate Chain is like flat, and then that's pretty much it. Everything else is like down. It looked for a second earlier today, maybe even just 2 hours ago, that Bitcoin was gonna rip and then make a move towards all-time highs again. Well, it kind of like did a head fake, and Bitcoin does this a lot. Like the way that Bitcoin trades, I don't want to call it manipulation, but it definitely seems like manipulation. When these things happen, typically there's like this little juke in the trading, and like you get a big pop or a big sell-off really quickly, and all the people that are, you know, trading Bitcoin with leverage because they're crazy, they all their stops get hit, and it just causes this cascading effect of people getting their all their longs or their shorts destroyed. And then the coin ends up going in the exact opposite direction. And the reason why that happens is because if you're a whale or an investment fund or something like that, you want this thing to move in a certain direction, you can actually make a little extra money by kind of zhuzhing it in the other direction really quickly. And all of those people end up getting liquidated. You end up collecting all of their coin, or basically getting them to essentially buy your coins that you're trying to offload if you're looking to push the price down. And you can pick up a little extra money by doing that and essentially screwing all the little guys that are dealing with leverage that they really shouldn't be dealing with. So that's really what happened with Bitcoin. And as a result of it, the crypto space looked like pretty decent a couple hours ago, and now everything's down. I mean, total market cap is down on all cryptos. And really, Bitcoin Cash is the only thing that's up. And it's up like double digits percentage-wise right now. So that got me thinking. I was like, okay, I'm sitting here talking to everyone about how, you don't put all your eggs in one basket, and how Bitcoin maxis, like, they understand the problems really well. Like, they get it. They know. They're looking for the solution, and they think they've found it. The one thing I'm trying to impress upon most folks is that, you know, blockchain is the solution. Whether Bitcoin itself as a cryptocurrency is the solution remains to be seen. It's not a known quantity. It's not like a, you know, this is not destiny. Okay. Though it seems like a lot of people treat it as such. And so today I was like, all right, what the hell am I going to talk about before I talk about the markets and everything that's going on? And I was like, it just kind of the situation presented itself to me. And I was like, well, yeah, let's talk about some of the candidates. Like, who could actually dethrone Bitcoin in this grand scheme of, like, you know, who's going to be top dog? Which, by the way, I don't think there's going to be one top dog in crypto. I think you're looking at an environment where there's so many different cryptos out there that have various, positives and negatives and selling points and other things that make them, you know, more efficient or less efficient. I think there's probably going to be a basket of cryptos that are at the top of the crypto marketplace, probably in the near future. And I don't want to be that guy who, like, you know, sees Bitcoin Cash pop and everything else goes down and be like, oh, you know, you got to pile into Bitcoin Cash. That's not what I'm saying at all. I've known a number of people that have been Bitcoin Cash advocates for a long period of time. And, you know, full disclosure, like a cardinal sin on my behalf, I didn't even look into, like, well, what is Bitcoin Cash? Why do they think it's better than Bitcoin, et cetera, et cetera? Well, the biggest, I'd say, detractors of Bitcoin are the ones that will tell you that it doesn't scale well. that the speed of the network, how much data is stored in each block on the blockchain, the resulting fee structures makes it not scalable. And so whereas it was originally envisioned as a decentralized, anonymous, disintermediated, like payment medium, all right, and potentially store of value, it's not that anymore, and it's had to change because as the halving cycles play out, and as the supply or the new supply that gets minted dwindles down over time, the valuation of Bitcoin, along with how the network is designed, has become somewhat, it's required that there be another vision, right, for Bitcoin. And so that's why now it's, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, Bitcoin is digital gold or it's digital real estate or something like that, right? Which is all well and good, but it also implies something that's less liquid. It implies something that wasn't necessarily what, you know, Bitcoin was originally supposed to be. It was supposed to be a very quick borderless exchange, low, you know, low transaction fee, et cetera, et cetera. So let's look. What other options are there out there? So Bitcoin Cash, obviously, because of today and the price action, is one of the ones to look at. Bitcoin Cash, along with, there's another variant of Bitcoin called Bitcoin SV, I believe. Both of them forked from the original Bitcoin blockchain. And so, all right, now we have to get into Bitcoin 101, right? So like the blockchain is essentially, I'm going to use silver, this is ironic. So the blockchain is basically blocks of data that get linked together, okay, in perpetuity. And so every single time a block gets validated, okay, and added to the blockchain, within each one of those blocks, there's a bunch of data, a bunch of transactional data that's stored. And that transactional data now becomes part of the chain. And the cryptography of it, the reason why it's near impossible to hack is because this new block being added to the remainder of the blocks in the chain now means that if someone wants to like hack information, and said they want to hack information that happens like, you know, back here, okay, that happened in the past, as far as like a transaction or something like that, they would then have to change every subsequent link or block in the chain after that in order to be able to pull that off, because an anomaly back here would immediately cause all kinds of problems moving forward in the blockchain. It wouldn't be solvable. It wouldn't proof, right? Okay, so each one of these blocks in the blockchain have certain attributes. It has a certain size and, you know, how often one is minted or how often one is created and then added to the chain differs based off of the different blockchains that are out there, Bitcoin being one of them, one of the original granddaddy, right? So that block, okay, the attributes of it play a big role in how quick it is and what information can be stored there and, you know, how easily it is to access the data that's in that block and refer back to it, right? But Bitcoin Cash hard forked from the original Bitcoin blockchain. Now, what does that mean? That means that the original Bitcoin blockchain was making blocks and it made this chain, okay? And at some point in time, some of the really smart people, much smarter than me, looked at it and they said, hey, this thing isn't scaling the way we thought it was going to be. We need to make these blocks have more data in them, and we need to make it quicker to be able to access this data and to validate it. And that will allow us to continue to build the blockchain longer, for longer. And it will also give a lower fee structure for being able to validate transactions within each one of these blocks. And so what they did was, and I feel like I need like an extra set of hands here. They took this chain and they essentially created an offshoot chain that grew off of it. Okay. And then this chain kept going, right? So the original Bitcoin blockchain kept going and the Bitcoin Cash blockchain hard forked off of that blockchain. that hard fork essentially meant that now you have a competitor blockchain that has a lot of the attributes of the original. So for instance, the total number of Bitcoin that will ever be minted is 21 million. As you would think, the total number of Bitcoin Cash that will ever be minted is 21 million. Now, I've talked about this in the past. You can almost infinitely subdivide each one of those coins. So the total number, and what a lot of people say is the selling point, the finiteness of the availability of, you know, Bitcoin as a coin, as a currency, or as a medium of, you know, storing value. I mean, because it's digital, you can essentially infinitely divide it. So I'm not sure it carries as much weight for me as it does for other people in terms of, you know, how many coins will ultimately be minted. Where it does matter is once you get to that final coin, now what does the network look like, right? Well, Bitcoin Cash has the same exact attributes as far as that goes, with the exception that each one of Bitcoin Cash's blocks has more data in it. And interestingly enough, Bitcoin SV is also similarly divergent from Bitcoin as far as trying to increase the scalability and the speed and easiness of transactions, which decreases the fee structure. Okay, so Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV are both very likely candidates to unseat Bitcoin in the future. All right, or like I said, at the very least, become part of that, you know, plethora of crypto that will be at the top of the heap. Could they also completely fall flat on their face and succumb to some of the others? Yes, 100%. Could Bitcoin fend them off into, you know, the distant future? Yes, also possible. But we're just looking at potentiality here, all right? So what else do we have? We have Solana. Let me pull up the chart for Solana today, just because, like most of the rest of the crypto complex, it is red today. But Solana is another one of these, and here we'll do a little bit more Bitcoin 101 here. Solana is one of these primary layer tokens. Bitcoin is a blockchain, and the Bitcoin cryptocurrency is the primary layer cryptocurrency. And so when the Bitcoin blockchain is put together, the crypto that is rewarded for solving and validating that blockchain is the primary layer. But then what can happen is, built off of this blockchain, you can have another chain that grows off the top of it. I'm dropping shit now. That can like ride along on top of it, okay? And that new chain refers back to the first one, right? I know we're getting a little far into the weeds here, but that new chain refers back into the first one. And typically what happens is that new chain, or basically the new application that's riding on top of the original primary layer blockchain, it's essentially doing something specialized. Right. So you could think of Bitcoin as essentially like, you know, the entire library. Right. And then this other, you know, secondary layer application, you could think of as like the science fiction section of the library. All right. And the library contains all of the books and all of the words and all of the letters and everything like that. Another way to think about it would be like, you know, the alphabet. But, sticking with the library analogy, the science fiction section rides along the top of the foundation that's created by the library, and it draws back on the data. So ultimately, anything that happens in this application that's riding along the top, gets that data gets imprinted on the blockchain. Okay. And so it's referring back to data that's on the primary layer. And this secondary layer, the applications that form the secondary layer, can then tokenize themselves, meaning they can have their own cryptocurrency. And so the value of that cryptocurrency, kind of like it's underpinned, or it's you know, supported by the underlying cryptocurrency that's on the primary layer. It also can have its own value fluctuations because how many people use this application and what it does, right? Like, is it a store? Is it, you know, some kind of like, you know, cloud storage, you know, data processing? Is it does it have to do with smart contracts and facilitating creating digital contracts, right? Like, this application that sits on top of the primary blockchain can also get extremely valuable, all right? And so both of these things can vary in value, right? Like if there's a lot of applications being built on top of this primary blockchain, a lot of these secondary cryptocurrencies from these apps or these tokens can basically, you know, they can just ride the wave with the primary to primary current cryptocurrency in the primary layer. If it becomes more or less valuable, they also themselves can skyrocket in value based off of who's using it, right? And you could have a divergence where this application gets really popular and its token starts to take off, but the primary layer token doesn't really go anywhere, or maybe even goes down because the primary layer token isn't really being used as much. Now, that being said, usually the primary layer blockchain wants these applications built off the top that have their own tokens, wants them to be successful, because a lot of times transactions that happen back and forth within that kind of like environment require at least some amount of going back to the primary layer token, either for the transaction fee or just to kind of stake your ownership in the blockchain and then participate in this application. Okay. I understand that I'm getting like really into the weeds as far as the conversation goes. But that being said, there are other primary layers out there that create their own ecosystem. So there's the Bitcoin ecosystem, and then there's these other ecosystems out there. Solana is one of them. There's the Solana ecosystem. So Solana is that primary chain. It has applications built off of the top of it. I actually just wrote an article today about how my cell phone plan right now is paying me to use my cell phone. And it's because Helium, the Helium mobile network built off of the top of the Solana blockchain, is essentially rewarding people to help them map their network. And this is also another huge selling point of crypto, which is something that gets missed quite often when people just talk about Bitcoin and stuff like that. Part of the other element of crypto is this idea that you own your data. And so if your data is going to become monetized, meaning someone is going to use it and someone's going to earn value or money off of your data that you're creating by moving around, interacting in the digital world, you know, having transactions and stuff like that, you should own that data. It shouldn't just be voluntarily, you know, given off to some techno oligarch who's then going to profit off of it. Okay. So within certain, you know, systems like the Helium application built on the Solana blockchain, your data, meaning you moving around and pinging the nodes and areas where you're not pinging the node and you have to use their gap-filling network, being T-Mobile, that data is valuable to them because it helps them further build out the network by incentivizing people in specific areas that have lots of traffic to operate nodes. And it helps pinpoint that need, right? Well, that gets you earning crypto because they have to reward you for that. Not many people are just going to voluntarily do that. You would have to be, you know, a true believer. And there's typically only a handful of true believers at the very beginning of these things, origin stories. So from that standpoint, to attract people in, they're offering a low-cost cell phone plan, but then they're also incentivizing you with crypto in order to be able to get you to move around and show them where the network is good and where it isn't, right? That's an example of a secondary layer token that's built off of the Solana blockchain. Well, Solana ecosystem and the Solana blockchain is one of those competitors. Now, Solana has the potential of being extremely fast, like literally hundreds or thousands of times faster than the Bitcoin blockchain. But that being said, Solana also has occasional outages and things like that, right? And so a lot of Bitcoin maxis will tell you that, you know, the build out of Bitcoin mining has essentially created a more robust, like reliable network. And they're not wrong. That's true. Some of these networks have outages when they have surges in transactions and people trying to call data from the blockchain. But that being said, could they fix those problems? 100%, right? Could they end up essentially sorting out a collaboration or a support kind of innovation that comes from one of the other blockchains that's out there or something brand new? They could also do that and end up fixing that problem, right? But again, we're just looking at candidates here, okay? Solana is one of them. I would put Avalanche in the same kind of, Sphere as Solana. Avalanche is another one of these alternative primary layer blockchains that gives you the opportunity to have an ecosystem where there's stuff built off of them. I think Solana and Avalanche and a couple of the others are also really big into decentralized finance. All right. So I'm not going to go too far down this road, but imagine this. The way that you earn money in your savings account, right, is by essentially staking your dollars in the bank, and the bank pays you some amount of interest. Nowadays, it's almost nothing unless you're in like a money market account that gets its interest from U.S. Treasuries. But most major banks, if they pay you interest, you're essentially staking your money with them, your fiat dollars, in order for them to use those dollars, but then they pay you back some kind of interest rate as a return for you staking that. Well, that's also a method that exists within, you know, crypto world. And so you can stake your crypto with various, some primary layer blockchains, and then a lot of these apps that are built off of those primary layers. You can stake the primary crypto, you can stake the you know, the tokens that are built off of that primary token or coin. That is an evolving, like a rapidly evolving area, because decentralized finance gets you to the point where you can have decentralized lending. It can get you to the point where you have, you know, decentralized estate management, right? And estate planning and decentralized life insurance and car insurance and like all of these things that are going to be able to be disintermediated by blockchain. And so a lot of these primary layer tokens are also inviting in this, you know, decentralized finance or DeFi community to develop applications and use cases off of the top of their blockchain. Solana, AVAX, AKA Avalanche is one of those. Okay. You also have a couple other in that realm. You have Ripple, you have DOT, or I believe it's, I only ever really refer to it as DOT. I believe it's Polydot. No, it's not Polydot. Anyway, the DOT network. And then Polygon, which is also known as Matic, okay, is another one. And then you have a whole host of other ones, all right? In fact, today, I think the rumor is that Dogecoin, which I wouldn't necessarily classify as one of these kind of like super developmental primary layer blockchains. It was initially minted as a meme coin, but the difference with Dogecoin is its tokenomics is inherently inflationary. And so there's literally billions, or maybe 100 billion, 130 billion Dogecoin out there, and more gets minted every single day. And there's Doge miners and things like that. But there's no halving, there's not really any scarcity of Doge. The reason why it's up today, and I believe also kind of in sympathy, the reason why Bitcoin Cash is up today, is because some people are placing bets on something that Elon Musk had talked about, and he actually tweeted out today about how he was looking to increase or revolutionize online payment processing and doing it through X, through Twitter, okay? By the way, Elon, if you're watching, bro, the reliability of downloading stuff and like accessing tweets and stuff like that on X has been dog water the last couple of weeks. I mean, you got to look into this. You need to like, you know, crank the bandwidth to 11 or something, because I've had some really spotty service, so to speak, being able to access some of the stuff on Twitter. It's like you reload things three times. But anyway, I digress. So Elon Musk is talking about potentially, you know, revolutionizing online payment, and people essentially assume that that means crypto, right? Amongst other things. And so they're taking their shots. And so Bitcoin Cash, Doge, and a couple of the other ones are up as a result of it. You know, Elon says something about Doge every couple of months and it freaking skyrockets and then it comes back down to earth. It's not really something that I would say is a definitive, but what I would also caution is anyone who's looking at these things, remember, crypto is, the power of it is decentralization. Twitter and or if you want to call it X, is not exactly decentralized. When Jack Dorsey was in the driver's seat and he was talking about, you know, adding a crypto or something, it was not going to be a decentralized crypto. It was going to be a very centralized and controlled crypto that wasn't necessarily like, you know, something where everyone owned it has like a vested interest in it, right? Like you'd have a vested interest in it going up, but ultimately you'd have one person at the top of the hill that, you know, could completely devalue it by minting a lot of it just unilaterally, right? Unilaterally. It wasn't centralized. And I'm pretty certain that Elon's not talking about a fully decentralized crypto payment processing environment, right? Or ecosystem. I'm pretty sure he's thinking in terms of fee structure for, you know, the corporation that is X right now or Twitter. But something to keep in mind is that, you know, some of these coins will benefit if they are included in that, you know, that solution, that ecosystem. Okay. So that is a theme to watch. And I actually like that a little bit better than, you know, people watching, you know, whether BlackRock is creating an ETF for Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, right? I think that's it's at least one degree of separation better than what we're talking about with Wall Street having a direct influence in what the value of a crypto is. So anyway, all right, so that's Doge. That's a couple of the other kind of primary layers that are out there. There's also some sleeper ones out there. The two privacy coins that are out there, like that really offer kind of like, you know, next level encryption and anonymity. The two that you hear the most about are Monero, which the symbol is XMR, and then Rcoin, which is Pirate Chain, ARRR. I always screw this up. Is it three R's or it's four? No, it's three. ARRR. All right. those are highly encrypted tokens or coins that you can use with a reasonable expectation that they are truly anonymous. Okay. It's one of the reasons why regulators really don't like them. Okay, because they are the full manifestation of the truly anonymous online digital transaction that was envisioned within Bitcoin. Okay, that I would be highly surprised if those reach mainstream acceptance, at least in normie world. Okay, so remember that if you're buying into those things, I don't know if you're necessarily buying into them right now because you expect everyone to be using them. There's still a large portion of the population who actually shun their anonymity for fear of reprisals from, you know, regulators and law enforcement and things like that. So something to keep in mind. But those are what I would consider like the true privacy coins that are out there. I don't think they will ever supplant any of the cryptos as the top used ones, but I do think that they will last for a long period of time because of that usefulness. Let me call it that. All right. And then the last one I'm going to talk about, I talked about a number of these kind of like micro cap, you know, coins and tokens indirectly by talking about some of the other primary layer ones. The last one is one I talk about a lot. It's Hive. And Hive is another one of these ecosystems that I would tell you this is a truly decentralized ecosystem. It is an ecosystem where if you own one Hive, you are a stakeholder and you are, you know, literally in it with all of the other thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands and millions of people that own Hive tokens. And the development that's happening off of the Hive ecosystem is, it's not, hasn't reached a fevered pace. It's been methodical. And because it's decentralized and for a large, you know, for to a large extent, basically, you know, open source almost, if you want to call it that, you know, the development that's happening is organic. It's not centrally planned, right? And so those things happen and there's things that, you know, take off and then fall off. And then there are things that are a slow burn that don't really get popular. And then they get really popular eventually. That is a true dynamic marketplace. I'm super excited to see where Hive goes. Hive continues to be one of my largest holdings, even though it's, you know, considered one of these smaller micro cap coins, because if you get onto the ecosystem and yeah, it's clunky, like they're working on trying to make it easier to access and use, essentially almost as easy as, you know, getting a Twitter account or an Instagram account or something like that. Once it gets to that point and it starts to see that adoption happen, you know, Hive is also a use case where that idea of being able to monetize your own data is fully realized, right? And being able to do it voluntarily. So when you put data out onto the blockchain, you're voluntarily providing it, and you're also earning off of it, which is absolutely fantastic. It is a full realization of, you know, what can be with blockchain. And I think it will have staying power for a long, long time. Whereas some of these other cryptos, I could see them, you know, just falling by the wayside really quickly, because many of them, there's the marketing, the PR of the blockchain and the crypto, and then there is the actual use case, right? I'll call it that. If the marketing and the PR is the only thing driving it, that means it's very dangerous, because the moment it falls out of favor, it could essentially crash and burn, right? And or if it's too much marketing and PR, it might be too good to be true, and you actually get, you know, rug pulled by a handful of people that own most of the coins or the tokens, and they just basically liquidate in order to realize their gains from everyone else putting their money, their fiat money in, and it becomes a basically just a scam, right? A cover for a scam. Some of these tokens may go that way. Okay. I see a couple of them that I have a reasonable expectation that they're going to be there for a long time. Hive, Monero, and Pirate Chain are those. Do I think that they're all going to, like, you know, go to the moon and make you a billionaire? No, probably not. You know, maybe you make a little bit of money over time with some of them. Some of them you'll lose a little bit of money over time, but they'll still be there, is the key. And then, you know, with Hive specifically, the apps that are being built off of that base layer blockchain are super exciting, because they're starting to get to the point where there's, you know, it's not just social media and blogging anymore. It's not just, you know, there's some DeFi apps that are being built off of there. There are some retail, like digital retail, online retail apps that are being built off of there. There is EFT, NFT applications that are being built off of that blockchain. It's really exciting to watch. And so, I mean, if you're not on there, I think I'm going to do in the newsletter, I think I'm going to do kind of like a 101 on the Hive blockchain, because I really think it's that valuable. I know it's not that popular just yet, but it's super valuable. And in fact, it's actually more popular outside of the United States, which is why most people in the US don't really hear about it all that often. Very popular in Latin America, very popular in Asia. And it's going to catch on here more and more as people truly see the, you know, the real value that's built into it. That being said, if I do write that newsletter, make sure that you get it into your email by subscribing. Either the link is in the description below, or you can just go to anarchistinvestor.substack.com. And also, April 1st, couple days, live on this program, I'm going to be giving away free silver. If you are a free subscriber or a paid subscriber, doesn't matter either way, you get a chance at free silver. I have basically almost $100 worth of silver here that I'm going to be giving away for free on April 1st. So don't miss out on that. Anarchistinvestor.substack.com. That being said, let's look around the rest of the markets. That was my, you know, my diatribe for the day. But let's look around the rest of the markets and just see what's going on. I think we kind of beat the dead horse of crypto as much as we could for today. And you know what, let me pull Bitcoin back up just to see how it's going. Yeah, it's, you saw that pop and fall off. We'll see what happens after here. We're still flirting with the top end of this range, you know, that 69,000 level. So we'll see what happens. It also went up and flirted with, you know, 71 on that one pop. We'll see if we ever get back up to 74K and put in a new all-time high here within the near future. But that being said, let me look at fixed income, high yield debt, catching a bid. This looks like risk on. I'm, you know, the more days that HYG holds this level or continues to kind of gravitate higher, it feels like risk on. It feels like we have one last how should I put it? One last meteor shot, right, before we hit ludicrous speed, for anyone who's a Spaceballs enthusiast. Granted, if you're like less than 30 years old, you might not get the reference, but we could be in this crack up kind of boom, or this, you know, this dramatic rise in stock markets and risk assets before we finally reach the point where everyone's like, okay, this is ridiculously overvalued. We need to start to sell. And that's when it starts the selling cascade. Every day that HYG, these high yield corporate bonds, stay higher or continue to move higher is a day where, you know, that it seems more likely that it's risk on and it's people FOMOing into the market, and they're FOMOing at a time when the valuations don't make any sense. Okay. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to continue watching this, but look, HYG looks like it's risk on right now. So that's all I'm saying for now. I am seeing selling in the US Treasuries market buying in the US Treasury market space because the yields are selling down or moving lower. And so that means that at the same time that it's risk on, you also see money being put to work by purchasing US Treasuries. And that's in anticipation of rate cuts from the Federal Reserve. I can't expect it from anything else, with the exception of usually people buy US Treasuries when it's a flight to safety and things are about to hit the fan. That could be the case. And this is just kind of like flying under the radar. But truthfully, I think that that's essentially what's at work here is, you know, more anticipation that the Federal Reserve is going to step in and basically provide the steroids that the casino and the marketplace are looking for. All right. Outside of fixed income, the regular casino indexes are up. Looks like risk on, looks like a rotation into small caps. If you do follow this, you know, I'll talk about it really quickly, though I don't like to put money to work here. The Russell and the small cap index is actually coming back to life, which is something that hasn't happened for a long time, which is why people were super worried about the marketplace, was because you had a handful of big, large cap stocks holding everything up, and then small caps were suffering, which typically is a bad sign. You're seeing some rotation in the small caps, which usually means that there's going to be a further upward move that's not necessarily fueled by large caps. It's fueled by small caps, which, by the way, small cap companies have, you know, they are very inclined to become overvalued. And, you know, you could see some bubbles percolate in those small caps as well. So I would be wary. I mean, if money's rotating into it, then like I said, it's risk on, right? So this is another indicator. High yield bonds, risk on. Small cap rotation, risk on. So that looks like the direction that we're headed in anticipation of, you know, easy money and good times ahead. The dollar index is just kind of flat right now, still hovering around that resistance level. If it moves higher, this risk on move will end up having been a false alarm or a false buying opportunity. A stronger dollar is not good for this market, seeing as how it's essentially built on inflation. So, if the dollar does poke through here and continue to move higher, that'll be a divergence if people are still putting money to work, you know, buying high beta stocks and things like that. Okay. So keep an eye on the dollar, the DXY, here in the future, and I'll keep looking at it as well. Oil's down a little bit. It's corrected after having some strength earlier in the week. And so I don't know. We're just kind of like a wait and see kind of aspect here. Interestingly enough, like from like an inflation standpoint, a lot of the inflationary trades were like popping yesterday. Not so much today, with the exception of gold. Gold is up. Gold's up almost 1.6%. It's up above 2,200 again, and it's within spitting distance of that all-time high at 2,225, give or take. Okay, so something to keep in mind: if the inflation plays aren't working that great, but gold is up, a lot of times that can signal a flight to safety, or at the very least hedging, right? It also does still work with that inflationary narrative. And granted, one day of price action does not make a trend, right? So we'll have to continue to watch it. But, funny enough, yesterday I focus most of the live cast on freaking lumber. And today they're like, oh yeah, well, we're just going to sell lumber back down. Now it hasn't filled this gap just yet. So it's not like, you know, this is a complete reversal or anything like that just yet. It is a sell-off from these elevated prices. But that being said, it's still elevated as compared to a year ago. So the trend is still intact, so to speak. But it's just funny. You talk about something. That's exactly the way the casino works. Like, you know, you think you have something nailed, and the very next day, it just like sticks you in the back. And then you know, eventually it could end up going in your direction, but that's why this is some just manipulated crap going on here. We'll see how this plays out into the future with lumber prices, but they are still elevated as compared to, you know, a couple of months ago and definitely 12 months ago. All right. What else am I looking at? Uranium is flat today, and the URA ETF just continues to kind of plunk along here. I'm still a big advocate of uranium, wrote about it yesterday. Yeah, big fan. 2 days ago I wrote about it. I'm crossing up my signals here now. Yesterday I wrote about uranium and nuclear power is the future. So I am a small dollar cost average buyer of the URA ETF. Full disclosure, I am not a financial advisor. I am just a dude on the internet with an opinion. You ultimately make your own investment decisions based off of your current, you know, situation, what you're looking for as far as investment goals and things like that. And, you know, I can't guarantee you any kind of, you know, return or positive on these things. I just kind of give you my opinion and what I'm seeing and how I'm, you know, putting money to work. So just keep that in mind. That being said, that's really everything I'm looking at. I mean, I could even pull up some of the like stocks here. NVIDIA is showing some weakness along with some of the AI names. A couple of the other AI names are actually up despite NVIDIA being down. That could just be company centric. Something to notice though, again, this like really strong pop that happened in NVIDIA that got us to essentially the all-time high in NVIDIA. It was challenged, but NVIDIA came up short. So it's times like this when you see a rotation away from the things that used to be leading the marketplace, and you see these fall-offs where they don't necessarily get back up to that height, and we see some weaker relative strength going on, that, you know, there could be trouble afoot, at least within the semiconductor space or the AI space. So it's something to keep an eye on, especially if you do have some of your money invested in normie Wall Street casino world. And obviously our proxy for Bitcoin that exists in Wall Street world, MicroStrategy, is it's actually up today, despite the fact that Bitcoin's taking a little bit of a step back. But it continues to get bid up because MicroStrategy is essentially using leverage and debt to buy Bitcoin. We'll see how that works out. So anyway, with that, that's really like the end of everything that I'm looking at today, and an end of market coverage. Just a reminder, if you were watching the recorded version of this or listening to it, throw me a comment and let me know what you're looking at, what your opinion is, how you see the world going on right now as far as investment goes. And look, I appreciate every single one of you. I hope you have a very, very awesome afternoon. And with that, I will see you back here tomorrow at 12 Eastern, live on The Anarchist Investor. Peace.